When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Okay, here we go. Stand by. 3, 2, 1.
The Thinking Atheist. It's not a person. It's a symbol. An idea.
The population of atheists in this country is going through the roof.
Rejecting faith. Pursuing knowledge. Challenging the sacred.
If I tell the truth, it's because I tell the truth, not because I put my hand on a book and made a wish.
And working together for a more rational world.
Take the risk of thinking for yourself. Much more happiness, truth, beauty, and wisdom will come to you that way.
Assume nothing. Question everything. And start thinking. This is the Thinking Atheist Podcast, hosted by Seth Andrews.
The podcast today is the audio of a speech that I have been touring with all around the country. This specifically is the audio from Atlanta, Georgia, the American Atheist National Convention. There is a video version where you can see all the slides that I have been presenting, and I highly encourage you to watch the video as well as listen, but most of it translates. And I think the points that I was trying to make hold up just fine in the audio podcast format. But anyway, the video link is in the description box. The show and the speech today, Blood Cult, the Weird Wild World of Christian Rituals. I hope you enjoy. I'm looking at the audience. I'm guessing only 30-35% of you were hungover. That's good. It's a strong, promising start. I was talking to the American Atheist organizers about doing a speech on Christianity, knowing that most of us know more about the religion, its history, its scriptures. We know more than many practicing Christians. Is this redundant? Am I going to waste your time? But we were talking about it, and I think today's presentation has a lot of utility because it's going to reframe, I hope, how we view this quote-unquote religion of love. I was driving in my hometown. I live in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I'm cruising down the street, and I happen to look out my driver's side window, and I see that there's a Baptist church parking lot, and in the parking lot, there was a children's play. And there was a bunch of kids dressed up like this. This is a stock image. I'm not using children for my example, right? But I mean, they had these little toga things on, and they had plastic or foam swords. I saw a cross and what I figured was a Jesus character played by a child. And I'm like, for a second, what's going on? Like, what is this? And of course, the obvious hit me. It was the month of Easter. It was an Easter play. It was the Passion play. Now, in Christianity, Passion refers to the suffering of Jesus Christ at the crucifixion. It's actually drawn out of the Latin. It means to suffer, to bear, to endure. And it's common. We see Passion played on stages and in sanctuaries pretty much all around the world. It's execution as entertainment. It's execution as worship. Execution as sermon. It's the retelling of a beautiful story. A story that includes betrayal and scourging and spitting and punching and bleeding and spikes driven through limbs and blood and water oozing out of his side as he's subjected to one of the most unspeakable practices that human beings have ever perpetrated upon each other. Of course, impaling the body isn't just about the pain of the spikes. It's possible that whole days would pass before somebody would finally die on a cross. In fact, crucifixion is part of the root word of our current word, excruciating. That's where that word comes from. Now, who thought that a parking lot execution reenactment would be a great idea for kids? What parent or pastor wakes up and says, you know what would be a great idea? Let's dress up our children as sneering executioners and let's do a children's murder play. Welcome once again to religion. Now, I'm going to come back to these kids in just a few minutes. Now, my new book is titled Christianity Made Me Talk Like an Idiot. No pressure at all to buy it at my book table outside. It doesn't matter to me at all. I mean, it's nothing to me, really. Okay, fine. The book is actually based on a speech I gave 5 years ago. And the book goes deeper into these weird, wild, wacky things that, people who are ostensibly reasonable people often do in the name of Christianity. Mainstream Christianity, the most popular religion on the planet. This stuff is considered normal, even when it's abnormal. And we've gotten so used to it, the celebrated ignorance and the bad ideas and the weird and the wacky shit that religions do, we don't even blink anymore. Now, what other crazy stuff when I was a practicing Christian did I consider to be normal? Well, for sheer crazy, creepy, culty, religious theater, we need look no further than communion. Right? The ritual of communion. This stems back to the biblical story of the Last Supper, of course. Christ takes the bread and he gives thanks, right? And he distributes it and he commands his disciples. He says, take and eat. This is my body. And then the wine, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. The Last Supper, it's a precursor to the betrayal, the trial, execution, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The blood of the sacrificial lamb about to be spilled in the ultimate act of atonement for all. Now, we jump forward to now, the 21st century, where supposedly rational adults gather together in a room. They get served a cracker or wafer or piece of bread or whatever, and a shot of grape juice or actual wine in some cases. And they chant Jesus' words, this is my body, this is my blood, and engage in an act of culty cannibalism that would totally freak them out in any other context. The Olympics of communion, of course, takes place in the Catholic Church, which claim that the crackers and wine actually miraculously transform into the actual flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. This is known as transubstantiation. Okay, Catholics believe they are literally eating Jesus' flesh and drinking his blood. And they do this without thinking twice. As the great philosopher David Rose recently said, what the actual fuck? Which is something that we say so often when we examine these religious orthodoxies and the rites and the customs. Imagine if Catholics saw the leaders of another religion or cult all dressed up like 11th century chess pieces and walking around. They'd say, that's weird, that's culty. Not weird and culty in the context of Catholicism. Of course, for Catholics and Christians alike, Communion needs to be a ritual that you can perform pretty much anywhere. Maybe there's an outdoor Easter service or some other occasion. Well, lucky us, my friends, because the church offers communion on the go. These plastic cups come pre-filled with the wafer and wine that will become Jesus' flesh and blood. They ship in bulk. I wish I'd had some, like, delivered here. It'd have been a ball. They ship in bulk. They are distributed like little cups of coffee creamer to the entire congregation. Yes, religious cannibalism has become an entire industry. For the more distinguished partaker, True Vine offers portable wine wafer chalices, and you can just see the wafers tucked into the base of the glass. And for the even more sophisticated Christian retailer Cokesbury, as the artistic RW17 four-cup portable communion set with actual glass cups, metal wafer tins, and housed in a classy folding metal case. And this four-person blood and flesh dispenser is a genuine bargain at only $67.50 plus tax. And don't think that culty blood messages are fringe in the mainstream church. How many Christian songs obsess over blood? The classic hymns were covered by the blood. Nothing but the blood. There's power in the blood. Are you washed in the blood? And of course, the blood message is echoed in contemporary versions of these hymns. Everybody from Matt Redman to Gateway Worship to Carrie Underwood sings about the blood. I screen-capped a tweet by a guy named Carl. He was on Twitter, and he said, I thought he summed up the problem pretty well. He said, "I can't believe I used to sing about being washed in blood like it was totally normal." Now, in my book, I ask how Christians might react if they saw another religion honoring a different God in this same way. And I just made up my own God. And I called him Braun, Bringer of Light. And I can't really draw, so I just sort of improvised here. Braun was not crucified, so there's not a cross for Braun over the church baptismal. There aren't cross paintings in the lobby of the Church of Braun. There's not a cross out on the front lawn on the corner. No, no, no. Braun was beheaded. So, Braun beheaded for our sins, the atonement sacrifice. And I couldn't come up with a better illustration for the oil painting, so, you know, I just... Okay, but you get the idea. Braun died for our sins. His wound is at the neck instead of the hands and feet and side. And lest you think this is extreme, remember that Christian tradition has John the Baptist dying by beheading for his faith. I don't think beheading is an unfair example. I don't think it's too extreme. Of course, the Church of Braun out in the front of the church, they've got the guillotine to mark our houses of worship instead of the cross t-shirt. There's the trendy guillotine t-shirt. We've all seen those wonderful cross tattoos. No, no, no. Let's do the guillotine tattoo. We've got guillotine jewelry. You know, Braunism, jewelry would become an entire industry, necklaces, rings, earrings, whatever. We'd have Braun oil paintings. The headless Braun would be displayed in our church lobbies and in our children's churches, and we would show it to our kids with a thankful tear in our eye. His blood was spilled for us, the undeserving sinner, and we honor him every month with communion to Braun. Now, I want to try an experiment which involves you. And this will eventually, the speech will go online as well. And so any Christian, any believer watching, I would like you to simply sort of observe and ask yourself some hard questions about how reasonable this is. So I want to role play. If you are comfortable, and only if you're comfortable, play along, okay? It's traditional for Christians to purify their hearts before they take communion. You don't want to have communion when you are in sin. So you say the prayer of forgiveness. Please forgive me for my sins, cleanse my heart. And then you're qualified to be able to take communion. You partake. Okay, so Let's switch out the god and let's role play, and we are going to chant a prayer to Brawn. Okay? So everyone repeat after me. Brawn, bringer of light.
Brawn, bringer of light.
Forgive me for sin.
Forgive me for sin.
Purge me of wickedness.
Purge me of wickedness.
In the name of Brawn, we eat the flesh.
In the name of Brawn, we eat the flesh.
For this is your body.
For this is your body.
And we drink your blood.
Poured out to cover us all.
What can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Brawn. How fucked up is that? How fucked up is that? All we did was switch out the god. Christians would totally wig out if you invited them to the First Church of Brawn on Communion Sunday. In fact, before the ritual was over, they would have gotten out of their pews or chairs, and they'd be running to the exit door, and they'd be begging Jesus, please protect me, please cover me with your blood, totally oblivious to the irony that they were still begging to be covered in blood. For cult symbolism, it is hard to beat Trinity Baptist Church in Indian Land, South Carolina. They posted an Easter video in 2021 of its Easter fountain. Check this out. Anybody else creeped out by that as much as I am? So I wondered maybe if somebody else felt this way, and I browsed to the comments section. Man, was that a mistake. Bumper sticker affirmations everywhere. Some people used blood droplet emojis to show their appreciation. Can you see these on screen? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your shed blood. Happy Resurrection Day. Thank you, Lord. Blood drop, blood drop, blood drop. This is what religion does to people. This church erected an ancient execution tool, turned it into a blood fountain to honor the murder of God, and then sat around smiling about how beautiful the whole thing was. Switch out the method. Death by stoning fountain, creepy. Death by dismemberment display, that's batshit. Death by hanging rope, swinging under the marquee, petrifying. The cross blood fountain, totally not culty or crazy. How culty is Ash Wednesday? Ash crosses are smeared onto people's foreheads. If you're not familiar, Ash Wednesday is the first day of Lent. And that marks 6 weeks before Easter. Lent comes from the Old English word for spring. And as Christ went, he fasted in the desert for 40 days. Believers practice some kind of abstinence in their own lives. This is a form of self-denial to help draw them closer to Christ. That's why we often hear people say, well, I'm giving this up for Lent, or I'm giving that up for Lent. I'm denying myself, which reminds me of this popular internet meme, Lent, he's still not giving you up. And yes, I just Rickrolled the entire American Atheist Conference, by the way. The scriptures say we come from dust, and to dust we shall return. And so repentance ashes are drawn onto faces as a priest or preacher reminds you to repent. Totally normal, totally reasonable, right? Now let's replace the execution symbol of the cross with, say, a firing squad. Jesus was shot to death for your sins. And I can hear the devout believers and they're protesting at how ridiculous this substitution is. How wrong-headed Seth Andrews is. Why is the cross reasonable? Why does the cross get a pass, but the rifles don't? What are some other culty Christian customs that we've decided are simply normal? How about the laying on of hands? Somebody has a prayer need, they bring him before the congregation, they gather around, literally put their hands all over him or her. What transference is going on? It's more than just the human touch of assurance from friends. And I think that's hugely beneficial and important. This is something else. This is more. This is a channeling of spiritual energy from human conduits into somebody's body. Normal in the Christian church. We saw this with celebrity evangelists doing this a while back with Orange Jesus. Few people on the outside, and they're remotely sending in their spiritual energy. It's traveling through directly into the Donald like an electrical current, I suppose. Ask Christians about Reiki energy, the transference of Reiki energy via the hands. They'd laugh at you. Reiki palm healing, energy transference, that's crap. Absolutely ridiculous, but pardon me, I gotta go. I'm late for my Christian prayer service. Some Christian churches anoint with oil, actual oil, olive oil or some kind of perfumed equivalent based on Jesus Christ, who is the anointed one, anointed in baptism, anointed when Mary of Bethany poured oil on Jesus' feet in John chapter 12. The oil is symbolic, but it also works like a weapon against spiritual attack. Now, you smear oil on people in the Latter-day Saints Church, where they anoint priests and in their secret and creepy endowment rituals. That's creepy. That's bizarre. That's culty. Totally normal. What about baptism? A great example of normalized Christian weirdness. Baptism is a public profession of faith. In this case, it's baptism by immersion in water. The symbolism is that you are dying to yourself, right? We're all born unworthy. There is no one worthy, no, not one. All have sinned, right? We have to gain our worth. Well, in order to do that, we die to self and we are resurrected in Jesus Christ, right? We're born again. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, you are then a new creation. Even babies are born sinners. They must be cleansed. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you. This child may look innocent, but no. It was born guilty. Cleanse it with the holy waters, consecrate it to its overlord. My first thought is, at least they didn't use blood. Another baptism model has the ritual of commitment. The baptism serves as a promise by parents that they will raise the child in the faith. In other words, they are promising to stamp their own religion, philosophies, worldview onto the poor kid instead of encouraging the son or daughter to grow up and take their own journey and be their own person. Hey, sorry, kid, your life really isn't yours. We've decided who you are. Let's ritualize this promise by mixing water and salt and chanting over it to make it magical, and then we're going to pour it over your head. You guys hear that story about the Phoenix pastor who had to resign after doing 20 years of incorrect baptisms? His name is Reverend Arango. He said, "We baptize instead of I baptize," as he spoke the holy words aloud. This is unacceptable. So the Catholic Church then declared thousands of baptisms totally invalid as he lost his job. Guess what he's doing now? He's running around the country trying to track down all the incorrectly baptized people so he can do it again with the correct phrasing. Oh my dad. Apparently, God has a real problem with subject pronouns. You can't say we, you gotta say I. One more quick example of baptism batshittery. This happened at Trinity Cathedral in Georgia recently, where parents queued up their children for a baptismal epiphany blessing. Here's what the priests did to the babies in the name of God. That baby's mother. What the hell did you just do to my kid? I don't know if this changed her opinion about Catholic baptism or not, but her shock is understandable, and it's really appropriate. Why are we submerging babies in magic water anyway? To appease the spirits? This is what Fundy religions do to people. How do Bible believers feel about the daily puja worship ceremony that the Hindus do? This is an offering up to the many Hindu deities. That's culty and weird. Yet the Roman Catholic Church literally bathes itself in salvation smog, my friends. The vapor of incense, blessed with a prayer, ignited with coals, placed in a thurible, and then swung back and forth to dissipate upward toward the nostrils of God. In the book of John, incense symbolizes prayers of the saints in heaven. Revelation has those prayers infusing upwards toward the altar of God. It is a literal holy smoke. Hey, it's in the Bible. It's right there next to the eating of blood and flesh and the execution cross and the touch energies and the protective oil and all these other things. Totally reasonable truths. Like, you know, donkeys that speak Hebrew. Hindu animals are said to have talked. That's crazy. In the Christian faith, totally reasonable. There's the totally not creepy story of David, who was trying to impress King Saul with a dowry so he could marry Saul's daughter. And he went out and sliced off the fleshy tips of 200 Philistine foreskins to present to the king. A foreskin dowry, totally not crazy or culty. The genital mutilation of fundamentalist Islam, that's barbaric. But not the version in the Bible. By the way, have you seen the satirical book called The Brick Bible or The Brick Testament? Well, this is awesome, and it's online. You can look it up. The creator's name is L.B. Sperling. L.B. Sperling used Legos to depict literal stories of the Bible. And L.B. Sperling depicted male circumcision using Legos. Would you like to see a screenshot? Ladies and gentlemen. Even in Legos, this looks really unpleasant to me. And then the Brick Testament helpfully illustrates God's man, David, presenting the 200 foreskins to the king, and he's counting them off. You know. Anyone else wonder why God, the intelligent designer, created men with foreskins and then spent the whole Old Testament asking him to get rid of them? I don't really understand that. It's bizarre. Of course, Fundy Christianity condemns anything but what it considers to be biblical marriage. We're seeing this going on in states, especially throughout the Bible Belt, with all these draconian laws going through. Biblical marriage, one man, one woman, as it was from the beginning of all things. Well, actually, the Bible has several models for marriage, as most of you know. There's one man, one woman. And then we've got one man and his wife and the man's concubines. By the way, the biblical concubine was essentially an unmarried sex doll. Abraham had a concubine or had many. Gideon, Jacob, Solomon, other godly men, they enjoyed boinking their mistresses, you know. There's one man and his wife and the wife's slaves. Remember, the biblical Abraham, a Christian hero, fathered a kid with Sarah's female slave because, you know, the old wife just wouldn't conceive. There's one man and his wife, and his other wife, and his other wife, Esau, David, Solomon, Belshazzar, others. They were polygamists. One man and his rape victim. God commands this after the rape. Deuteronomy 22, if a man happens to meet a virgin who is not pledged to be married and rapes her, and they are discovered, he shall pay her father 50 shekels of silver. He must marry the woman, for he has violated her. Remember that in the Christian Bible, rape was not a violation, a crime against the woman. It was a property crime against the man. And then there's the terrifying edict from Yahweh in Numbers 31. One man and his kidnapped virgin, right? Yahweh allowed the Israelite soldiers to spare female virgins to be kidnapped for themselves. Now, say that these polygamy, concubine, marry your rapist verses came out of the Quran. Watch Christians lose their minds with indignation. That's abnormal. It's perverse. It's barbaric. It's culty. It's abusive. It's so very, very wrong. Read it out of the Bible and watch the most amazing tap dance you have ever seen. It was a different time. It was the old covenant. It's metaphor. It's a mistranslation. You're using the wrong translation. We only hold to one man, one woman, like Adam and Eve. It's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. You ever heard that one? By the way, have you seen there's actual Adam and Steve action figures? You can buy these. No, you can buy this on the internet. Great gift, great stocking stuffer for the biblical literalist in your life. Couple more, real quick. I want to respect your time. But the cult of Scientology says there's a non-physical entity that lives within you, an entity called a thetan or a thetan, buried under our physical selves. It was driven here 75 like billion or trillion years ago by the intergalactic dictator Xenu, and those contaminated thetans are responsible for all that's bad, sickness and disease. They exist beyond the body and the mind. They are spirits, spirits that must be cleansed. Now, Christianity mocks the thetan, but they say that human souls are our driving life force that exists beyond the body and the mind. They must be cleansed. It's a thetan by another name. Culty with Scientology, normal in Christianity. My soul finds rest in God alone, Psalm 62. One, Christian skeptics go after the Islamic story of Muhammad riding the winged horse up into heaven. What a total crock. That's crazy. That's Harry Potter stuff. Unbelievable. But the biblical Elijah rides his fiery chariot to heaven. Totally legitimate. Christians mock the Heaven's Gate cult for its wacky end of the world conspiracy. You guys remember Heaven's Gate? I think it's been about 20 years. For those who may not be familiar, quickly, Heaven's Gate was a cult that believed that there was a spaceship flying behind the Hale-Bopp comet back in 1997. And if they committed mass suicide, they would then be transported to this spaceship so their consciousness could be transferred to next-level bodies. This is Olympic-level crazy, okay? Christianity points and gawks and says, that's unbelievable. Who could ever go for that? Okay, let's quickly compare Heaven's Gate with the biblical prophecy about the end of our lives and the end of this physical world, okay? The book of Revelation declares that the following things are going to happen during the apocalypse, which is the final destruction of the world. Revelation says one day soon, bloody, fiery hail will rain down upon the entire planet. That a star named Wormwood will poison Earth's water supply. That 200 million horsemen will murder a third of the planet's population. And that seven plagues, oozing sores, blood seas, blood rivers, heat waves, darkness, drought, and earthquakes will engulf humankind. But wait, we're not done yet. Revelation 17 says that the whore of Babylon will ride the earth upon a scarlet beast with seven heads and 10 horns. These heads and horns symbolizing rebellious kings that declared war on God. And just in case we mortals aren't horrified enough, a heavenly warrior dressed in a bloody robe will arrive on a white horse, gather all the flying birds, and command them to, quote, eat the flesh of kings, generals, and the mighty, of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, great and small. Amid the chaos, everything is going to go black. The sky will split open. Mountains and islands are going to move around like chess pieces. And the Antichrist is going to require all survivors to take the mark of the beast to declare their allegiance to Satan, before Jesus finally arrives to mop up and take to heaven all the remaining Christians who haven't panicked themselves into a freaking heart attack. Now, if Heaven's Gate had tried this story on Christians, what would the reaction by Christians be? It holds no such reservations for its book of Revelation. And even if you clumsily lean into the, it's just allegory, they're just symbolic stories to teach us a lesson. Somebody tell me, what an allegory about a blood-drunk, multi-headed, dragon-riding space prostitute means for the rest of us. Somebody help me with that. It outgates Heaven's Gate. Should this stuff be taught to children? I will say that it gives those of us in this room pause. How's that? Okay, but in the church, they believe it's just fine, even necessary. It's critical to do so. And as I draw to a close, it brings me back to those brainwashed kids in the Baptist church parking lot. What if we altered the conditions of their little reenactment just a little bit? Still Jesus, still the sacrificial lamb, still the atonement. But instead of nailing him to a faux cross, we change the method of execution to the noose. Instead of crucifixion, Jesus would die by hanging. And imagine this in your mind as a children's play. Jesus is put on trial before Pilate, and the child actors are screaming, "Hang him! Hang him!" And there's an 11-year-old Jesus character, and he's dragged by the mob out toward the gallows, and the rope is already looped, and it's swinging and swaying in the wind. And the child Jesus is made up to look bruised, and he's staggering, and he reaches the platform, and the crowd is taunting and jeering and awaiting, eagerly awaiting the snap of his neck. And there's wild applause as the noose is looped and tightened around the boy's throat. This is Photoshop. I did not subject a child. I did not put a noose around a child for the purpose of my PowerPoint today. This is Photoshop. An example to try to give you that visual. And imagine it. He's up there. There's a hooded executioner, and he's got his fingers on the trapdoor handle, and the kids continue to scream out, "Hang him! Hang him!" And their parents watch with pride. And after a few tense moments, the trapdoor spills the Jesus child 6 feet before jerking his body to a halt, and a nearby Foley artist snaps a twig to simulate the breaking of a neck. And the corpse is then lowered to the ground, transported to a styrofoam tomb, and then some exposition is given to simulate the passing of 2 days, and then the child, with his neck permanently scarred from the rope, emerges to forgive his murderers. Same atonement story. I just changed the method from a cross to a noose. But because the noose version has not been normalized for 2,000 years, notice how the updated version makes you feel. There's a difference there. And I'd wager that those Christian parents that are so misty-eyed about the cross would be offended and horrified, rightly, by the noose, oblivious to the creepy, cannibalistic, morbid, tragic, horrifying cornerstone story of violence and death they have attached to their so-called religion of love. You and I know it's all bullshit anyway, right? We know the whole bloody story's ridiculous and offensive. Why was the spilling of blood even necessary? God creates the universe. He can't simply speak forgiveness into existence. It makes no sense. Why would he create the mechanisms that enabled original sin in the first place? Why did he create Lucifer, his own arch enemy? Right? This predated the earth. Why would he do that? Why would he create the wrench in his own perfect plan? Why would he manufacture a never-ending torture chamber? Christians casually accept this. They say crazy stuff like, well, the Lord doesn't send you to hell. You choose hell. I'm sorry. Who would choose hell? Why would God's plan involve impregnating an unwed teenager via ghost sex so that the offspring could do 33 years of unverifiable miracles for a few random people 2,000 years before the invention of the video camera, before quote-unquote dying on a cross, which makes no sense because he's invincible and cannot actually die. His spirit moved around, but he didn't die. The more accurate description of the Easter story is Jesus had a really shitty weekend for your sins. By the way, I thought it would be really good to include at least one slide that wasn't white Jesus. Like, I know it's Georgia, so I mean, that's probably most of what we see around here. But, you know, Christians worship a guy from the Middle East and he looks totally white. It's bizarre. He looks like this, right? Actually, these days he looks a little more like that. I'm thankful. Many professing Christians have actually walked away from a lot of this insanity. They sort of custom-fitted their own religion, and they've excised out a lot of the awfulness, and I admire that. I really do appreciate that. You know, they quote a few love verses, and they have sort of customized a better-fitting religion that speaks to their values. Many of these people are our allies in the fight for good. They might pray before a meal, but they remember to thank the cook, you know. They realize they're more likely to get an A on the test if they actually study instead of just throw out a prayer. They lock their doors and protect their families instead of just calling down a prayer of protection. They actually get the COVID vaccine instead of declaring Jesus is my antivirus. They get angry about injustice. The mega pastors that have all the millions in the private jets abusing other people's pocketbooks, you know, they don't believe that we're born broken and unworthy. They certainly wouldn't have endorsed a children's murder play. They'd be just as horrified as you and I are. I think that's a step. I think that's a step. And I appreciate them for that. And if you happen to know one of these Christians, or this speech happens to find the ear of one of these Christians, I think we're on the same side in many important ways. But I'd like you to examine the irony of a non-fundamentalist Christian. In order to find Christianity palatable, in order to reject religious bigotry, in order to not sound like a total idiot, you have had to reject whole sections of Christianity. Its commands, its claims, its dogmas. I think this is an inadvertent indictment of your own religion. That saying says it so well. If you have to distance yourself from fundamentalism, there is something wrong with your religion's fundamentals. And it's up to you and me to say so out there because we know better. And I think we embrace a world that is better because we care about those kids. We don't want to see them subjected to messages that they're not worth anything and they have to get their worth from somebody else through blood. What would I say to those kids in the parking lot in the Roman costumes? If I could get 30 seconds with them, I'd say, you know what? Those costumes do not fit you in every important way. Those costumes are ill-fitting for you. Get rid of them. Crucifixion is not beautiful. Atonement dogma is not moral. Passion plays aren't reasonable. You have value on your own terms, beyond any faith tradition, beyond any sermon, beyond any religion or holy text or sacred rite. There's a more sensible world, kids. It's just over here. It's just over, just a few steps. It's a world without gods and monsters. It's a world which acknowledges you're born beautiful, not broken. It's a world without blood and pain and spikes and screaming and spitting. It's a world without magic and smoke and dragons and fire and an avalanche of insanity. It's a world where our plays and performances and demonstrations can promote logic and love and compassion and empathy and kindness and protection and worth. We don't have to celebrate horrible wounds. We can commit our lives to trying to mend them. Many of us who found our way out of this nonsense have committed ourselves to try to help other people to do the same. And this room is filled with those people. We acknowledge that a mainstream cult is still a cult. And we commit ourselves to teaching generations the better ideas in the hopes that they will replace the bad ones. We don't think you need to be fixed, commanded to die and be reborn. You don't have to be covered in anyone's blood. And it's my sincerest hope that any believers listening will put down their crosses, follow their own path, and ultimately and finally be free. Thank you all so very much for having me.
Thinking Atheist on Facebook and Twitter. For a complete archive of podcasts and videos, products like mugs and t-shirts featuring the Thinking Atheist logo, links to atheist pages and resources, and details on upcoming Freethought events and conventions, log on to our website, thethinkingatheist.com.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.